Hello and welcome to Falcon Cast. It's been a minute. I'm Matt Moore next to Jay Adams, and look who is joining us today on Falcon Cast.
Joining the party, baby.
The five star after this signing day. I call him the five star legend, Donald Shockley.
So you gotta give everybody my government. That's just messed up right there.
Wes Durham taught me that. So yes. DJ Shockley, welcome to Falcon Cast.
I appreciate it. I watched you guys a couple times on there. I'm like, oh, this guy looks really cool. I'll come over here, you got the headphones on. Now I get to sit up here, I feel big time, man.
It's and awesome. You've probably seen DJ on a lot of other videos this week. He did a fantastic job. Exclusive one-on-one video with Dan Quinn. Now we're allowed to come back and talk about this new guy, Dan Quinn. We've been on a little hiatus because there's nothing to talk about. We weren't allowed to speculate. True. But we got our guy. It's Dan Quinn. And I think, Jay, you said it best the other day after his press conference. You're ready to run through a wall. You're ready to go fight, go do whatever for this guy.
And that's the first thing you notice about this guy is the energy he brings to the building. I mean, it didn't take all that long in his press conference on Tuesday before you kind of felt like – this is the right guy for the job. I mean, you kind of knew that this is the guy that they thought was the best guy to bring in. But once he started talking, it was so easy to buy into what he's saying and what he truly believes in. This is a guy that can really relate to people. He can really, I think, get through to players, get through to his coaches. And the energy around this building on Tuesday was just something I haven't experienced since, I think, the NFC Championship game in 2012.
And, Shaq, I'd love to throw to you. You were able to really – you spent about 5 to 7 good minutes with him. And you can watch that on AtlantaFalcons.com. It's a great interview. Asking some really good questions, both about his philosophy, what he's about off the field, you know, where he came from. Now it's, you know, a couple days later, what are your general impressions?
I was intrigued. Just like Jay just mentioned, I was intrigued about the press conference. Just listening to him talk. Me and Matt were actually sitting in the back of Matt Ryan, we were sitting in the back of the press conference. And a couple times he was talking, and Matt leaned back to me and was like, I like that. And, you know, you can see how fired up he was about it. And I was the same way. And I'm not even playing. I was like, I would love to play for this guy. Seems like he has everything, as you say, organized. He has everything he wants to do. And you can tell he has that energy, that emotion about him. Then when I got to sit down with him one-on-one, I can understand where his passion comes from. I can understand the lineage of the people, the guys he's been under, the things that he's went through, that says, hey, this is a guy who is ready for this moment, and he's going to excel it. I think he's got all the tools to be, you know, one of the better coaches in his league, and I think he's definitely going to turn this organization around, I would say immediately, just because of the way he kind of his demeanor towards everybody. I think he's gonna spark everybody around here to, you know, give a little bit more.
Can you put some perspective on it, being a former player yourself? And you know, there isn't a whole lot that can be done right now. You know, he's gonna go ahead and he's gonna evaluate the roster and all those things. As a player, you're just still kind of doing your offseason program. It's completely voluntary at this point. You know, you're just trying to maybe recuperate from the end of the season and maybe start thinking about getting ready for the next season. When all you really have to go on is the press conference that he gave the other day, as a player, how important is it for you to look at a guy and feel his confidence, feel how well-spoken he is, and buy into what he says in just, you know, a 20 or 30-minute press conference?
Huge. I think you can get a lot from that. I think a lot of people, you hear the expressions, first impressions are everything. And I think his first impressions mean a lot to the players. They mean a lot to the people who watch, in the fans, organization, the hierarchy of Arthur Blank and Dimitrov, just the way he handles himself. That means a lot. And what you get from that 30 minutes can really motivate you, especially in this offseason, to say, all right, I got a coach in here who's coming with a lot of energy. He's coming with a lot of passion. One other thing, he's used to winning. So I got to know, I got to step my game up. And just walking through the locker room the other day, I saw at least 10, 15 guys already in here working out. And I was talking to Matt about it. He was like, this doesn't happen in January and February. This just doesn't happen. Guys are vacation. Guys are doing. But I think guys understand he's coming from a different level. He's coming from a different outlook of how to run a team, how to keep his guys ready to play. And I think he's going to bring that energy, and he's going to bring that emotion. He's going to bring that kind of wherewithal that guy's going to say, hey, I better step up my game, or I may not be here.
I'm going to give you two behind-the-scene things that no one saw, except a few of us. One involves Jay, one involves DJ. First time we heard Dan Quinn talk, for me at least, was he met the staff. Every person, ticket office, administrative assistants, digital media. We got to go in the team meeting room. First time we get to meet Dan Quinn. And then I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is all. This guy fired me up. And then there was a Q&A session. Jay asked a really good question. He said, hey, Coach, what are your hobbies outside of football? It's nice to know, like, you know, we need to know if we're going to have a golf tournament. If he likes to fly, fish, or he likes to, hunt. You don't know that. And it was a good question. And normally when someone asks you that, you're like, I like golf. And, play trivia crack, things like that. He had to pause for a second. And he's like, He's like, well, this is pretty much it. This is what I enjoy. He's like, I do love my family. We like to get them together.
Yeah.
It's fun when we can. He's like, but it's all about this. This is what it's about. And then he stopped and he said, nephew, there's one thing I like to watch other than football. It's boxing. So put that photo up, if you will. And this is kind of the boxer that is. You see him taking that onto the field, too. But I thought that was kind of cool, Jay, that this guy – He eats, breathes, sleeps football, and you could tell he is ready to take on this challenge. It is, being the 16th head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you're going to notice about this guy is just how meticulous he is. And I wrote a little bit about this earlier in the week, and that when Quinn was getting ready to face a very high flying Eagles offense at the time, I think in week 12, he had a little bit of extra time. The Seahawks played on the previous Thursday, and he sat down with every single game tape that the Eagles had played by that point. He not only watched the coaches all 22, but he also wanted to watch the TV version of the game, which is kind of rare for a coach. But what he wanted to see is how long does it take for a play to end before they get in the huddle and then get back up to the ball and get ready to snap. And he sat there and he watched that game, all those games, with a stopwatch.
Yeah.
And he was awesome. Averaging it out. It was like, 17, 18 seconds sometimes. It was 12, 13 seconds. So he wanted his defense to know how fast they have to turn around. It's those little detail things that really set this guy apart. And I think we're gonna see a lot more of that as we continue to go. But this guy took the extra time during that week to watch more film. And that just kind of goes to show what kind of guy he is.
As a former player, listening to the thing that he just did, and when you ask him a question about what's his hobbies, and he has to think about it, that kind of says something right there that this guy is all in. He is all about his business. And then what you said about paying attention to the Eagles is attention to detail. As a player, I remember hearing that day in and day out. You got to pay attention to the small things. You got to pay attention to the details. And that's what you need as a head coach. You got to pay attention to the details, because you're not just worried about, okay, first he started at the D-line. Then he started out as now he's a coordinator. Now he's a head coach. He has to encompass everything. And if he lets the little things go to waste, then that's when the team comes to go to waste. So understanding that he understands the small things, those are things that really matter. And as a player, you can respect that, and you got to know, hey, he's going to give me everything he's got, so I have to do the same and do my due diligence with his film work, with his working out. I got to do the same thing.
And you think about knowing, those little things, knowing that you've got 12 or 13 seconds after play ends to get your substitutions in, get your calls in, all those different kinds of things, having all 11 guys know that against a high-tempo offense. I mean, that Chip Kelly offense is just – it's so dangerous, and they're able to get things in very efficiently. Seattle held them to 139 total yards in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible for a top 10 offense to be held to that in their own place, I think.
What's even more important is he won the game before he even got to the game.
Yeah.
Because if you wait till the game and say, okay, they're bringing in 11 or 12 personnel, okay, what's my call versus 11 or 12 personnel? Before you knew it, they're up the line of scrimmage, but they're on the play.
Yeah.
So he already knew exactly, okay, they give me this, I know exactly where I'm going. And that just shows you the attention to detail we talked about and things that you need if you're going to be successful in this league. And he's shown that past couple of years, especially in Seattle with that defense.
Second thing that I'm going to tell you about DJ, and you talk about like little, small things, attention to detail. when we walk into the room, I bring Coach in to do the interview with DJ. And DJ says, "Hey, I'm DJ Shockley. Coach, great to have you here." And he goes, "Oh, I know who you are.
I know. I was."
He goes, "I know who you are. I know all about you, DJ."
I was blown away by that. I was completely shocked.
At some point,
shocked.
We had to look and be like, well, at some point, he scouted you.
No doubt.
He's either scouted you, tried to recruit you.
I was blown away at one. When I left the interview, I told people, I said, he actually knew who I was. I mean, I was like a little kid. Like, I couldn't believe he knew who I was, you know. Hadn't played a couple of years. He's had thousands of players. He had to look at a recruit and hold him and say, "Hey, I remember you." And, you know, he talked about me playing quarterback. So I knew he had some knowledge of me. He wasn't just, you know, saying something to make me feel good. Yeah. I was like,
that's cool. And that's the thing. Cool. Like, a lot, I see this a lot. It's the behind the scenes guy is a, "Oh, yeah, DJ, great to see you." No, this was a, "No, I know who you are. Right. I know everything about you."
Right.
And credit to our guy, Brian Kearns, over in Falcons PR, because he gives, you know, the coach, here's your media schedule. You know, here's everything that you're going to be doing today. And it's easy to just take it and just be like, "Oh, okay, put it in my pocket."
Just go.
So clearly at some point when he got that in his hand, he's like, "I want to find out who these people are."
Right.
And it wouldn't surprise me if there were a lot of other media members that that had that same experience with him. And it's also important to note, you know, we were at the press conference. I mean, there must have been 100 or more people in that room,
man,
for him. And for a guy who's never been a head coach before to be as cool and confident under that amount of pressure, I mean, it just goes to show how, you know, a couple of years of Super Bowl media day can just kind of take the edge off of any big deal. So it was pretty interesting to see that as well.
He did get up an applause, almost like a standing ovation, from the entire room, media and other people in that room. That's one of the first times I've seen that happen with media. Media is not easy to do that. And one of the things he did say, we wanted to show a clip of one of the things that kind of did, you know, got that applause, was this video here. But I said, cue it up.
I think when we play our fastest, you're really freed mentally. And by that, what I'm saying is we don't give the guys so much that they're not able to play right at their very best. Here's the tip, here's the alert, here's the key, and let's go get it. The best defensive teams I've played on have had that component. So by playing fast might not necessarily mean we have faster players. It's the style and attitude of how we play. And by us not overloading them, now we're allowing them to do what they do best.
And DJ, I want to go to you on this one. Someone who's played at the highest level, both college and pro, explain that to me.
The biggest thing I got out of that was simplistic. And when things are simplistic, you're allowed to go out and just play football. You're allowed, you're not thinking too much. You see the ball, you go get the football. And that's kind of what he was saying was, all right, with his offense, defense, special team, you're going to know, hey, this is my alert, here's my key, now you go get it. And that's kind of how you have to play this game if you're going to be successful. It's the guys out there who are overthinking that have the issues, they have the problem, because they don't know what they're doing, and then you got to worry about what they're doing. By the time that happens, you're lost. But if you go out there, you know exactly what you're supposed to do. You know, all right, that's my guy. If he runs this way, I go to the flats. If he goes this way, I go zone. I know exactly what my keys are, and he wants the ball to snap, I go and play football. That's as simple as it gets. And you hear guys talk about how his defense are very simplistic. But at the same time, they work because guys know how to work together. They know where they're going, and they understand what their role is in that particular play or front or defense or offense.
That's I love that word simple, because that's exactly what I got out of it as well. You know, that you think about this Seattle defense and just how good they were, and you think that it's like this big complicated scheme, and it is not at all. I mean, Quinn has said, look, we showed them a couple of 4-3 looks, a couple of 3-4 looks, and some nickel stuff, and that's it. These guys just go out and play, and the ability to read and react in those circumstances is just absolutely huge. You know, Quinn said, we're not going to have 1,000 defenses. We're just going to have a couple of different things. You know what you're supposed to do, and you just kind of go get it. And that's that, I think, as a player, you know, when you take the thinking part out of it, especially, you know, think about going back to the Philadelphia example. You got 12, 13 seconds before they run another play. If you've got all this identification to do and all these changes to make, I can't imagine being effective as a defense against
it. It's kind of like, as a quarterback, everybody always sees the quarterback comes in line of scrimmage, he raises his leg, and then he waits for a second, because defenses can be very difficult to disguise a lot of different things. But if you know exactly what they're doing, It's so much easier to play faster. It's so much easier to play with speed. That's why I see a lot of teams do the no huddle, like Philadelphia, because they want you to be simplistic. Because if you're simplistic, they know exactly what to do on their side of the ball. They're hoping back because they're going fast that you have to mess up somehow because one guy. All it takes is one guy to be out of place, and there it is. They have a big play. Going back to the a player who played for him, Patrick Kearney, who actually played here, he talked about Coach Quinn saying he's highly intelligent, knows how to work with players, and he said the defensive success has been a product of their ability to understand the system in place as opposed to the pure physical skill. So a lot of people think it's a lot of personnel. Yes, you need personnel, but at the same time, if you got a 11 group of guys who understand what they're supposed to do in their particular role, it kind of outweighs personal talent or whatever you want to call it, because those guys work together and they understand that particular scheme to make it work.
But the other point is, too, that, you know, he said so many times the other day that, look, I find what a player does best, and that's what I make him do. I'm not asking DJ Shockley to be a quarterback that he's not. Right. I'm going to find out what he's good at, right, and I'm going to just let him do that, right, and not ask him to do a lot of different things. And so I think when you talk about having different guys doing things that maybe they weren't accustomed to before, you know, especially you talk about 8, 9, 10-year veterans, right, all of a sudden being asked to do something completely different, I think that can shake up your absolutely confidence a little bit.
No doubt about it.
And we could talk about Dan Quinn for another hour, I feel like.
But we like him.
That's we do. We do. Real quick, each of you, real quick, your first impressions of Kyle Shanahan, Richard Smith, and Raheem Morris kind of being the coordinator.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you've got Kyle Shanahan, who at one point was the youngest to ever earn a coordinator spot in the NFL. And he's done some really innovative and creative things in his career. On the other side of things, you've got Richard Smith, who's got 25-plus years of coaching experience. So, and you know, the important one to kind of mention here is Raheem Morris and his involvement in that defense. I think he's going to be, you know, he's just focused on the passing game. So that's going to be kind of a big thing. And he's got that kind of really good, uplifting personality that I think a lot of guys are going to relate to. I think we talked about this the other day. I think the one key guy, as far as guys who are still around, that is going to be one of those storylines that you're going to hear about is Terry Rubisky.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking around in that wide receiver room. When you talk about the personalities in that room, this is a guy they're comfortable with. They trust him. And I think that keeping him around could really go a long
way. Jay, I remember me and you were talking about this yesterday. And yeah, we was like, there are some really big personalities. I mean, you guys have seen Julio, Roddy, Harry, Weems. You see, those are four guys who, if you don't have the right guy in that room, you never know. But having a guy like Rubisky there who can manage all those different personalities. I mean, every team has them. I mean, every person in the NFL has a different personality. You got to better deal with them. But having a guy like Rubisky who can control and, you know, understand those guys and bring the best out of them is huge.
So I mean, he's really like a father figure. Sorry, Matt. He's really like a father figure to these guys. And if you take him out of that equation, I think, you know, it ends up hurting your football team.
Yeah.
Shock, explain the dynamic that will be Shanahan and Matt Ryan the next 5 months. Like, how will that work? What's going to happen?
It's going to be maybe an everyday process for those guys to fine-tune things that Matt likes, and then there's the things where Shanahan's going to say, okay, this is kind of things that we did here, some different concepts that maybe Matt's not used to running that maybe can help them. There's always things that you got to gel together. You got to bring both guys together. They're going to sit down. They're going to watch film of last year. They're going to watch film of things that Matt done well. They're going to watch film of things that Shanahan likes to run. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bring those things together. And they're going to say, all right, here's our plan. Here's the things that we're going to like to run, whether it's no huddle, whether it's a two-minute drill, whether it's third and long, things I like to call, you know, in the red zone, things I like to see, how I view certain plays, how I view certain defenses, how to attack them. That's going to be the biggest thing for them, is mentally getting on the same page, because there's a lot of guys who think differently than a guy who's calling the plays, and that's what problems cause. And that's why these next 5 months are going to be huge for them to get together one-on-one and say, all right, this is how I look at the defense when it's third and short. You know, sometimes I like to take a shot on, you know, first down, you know, or second and one or something. I like those type of things, and he's going to have to understand the type of things Matt likes to do, especially when, you know, things get kind of backed up or things get tough when run game's not going or Does Matt like to bootleg to his right or left more often than anything? You know, Shanahan's, he can watch the film, but Matt can tell him exactly, hey, I like to pull up. I like to, you know, the rollout package. Things like that are really big for them in the next 5 months.
And I think that's the other point here to make, too, is the learning process for Shanahan. Mm. I mean, this is – Matt Ryan is, I think, without question, the most established, most successful quarterback that he is taking on. And being able to say, okay, you know, we need to stick with what works in certain situations, mm-hmm. While also trying to do some of the things that you know work schematically,
right.
I think is going to be a tough balance. I think they're going to find that balance because Matt is extremely easy to work with. But you know, having that learning experience for Shanahan as well to understand what Matt likes to do in certain situations and keeping that stuff is going to be big.
Because the big part of it, like you just mentioned, Matt's the leader of this team.
Yeah.
He's going to be the leader on this offense. So while they're getting together, getting everything down, he's learning the plays, they're going to look at Matt to say, all right, do you trust, you know, what he's doing? Do you mm-hmm. trust the play call? Do you trust, you know, the different concepts that he's bringing? And Matt's going to be that medium guy to bring all the skill guys, the linemen, everybody to say, all right, I trust this guy. I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to make us better. And that's where that void is going to be. Is going to be met because Matt's going to be that guy to say, this is going to work for us. I like what he's doing. I like these type of concepts that he's bringing to us, some new, some innovative stuff that he can like and eventually say, all right, we're going to be rolling by the time camp comes. So they're not just like they're taking baby steps when camp or OTAs come. They'll be ready to go full stride.
All right, great stuff, Chuck. That's awesome. That's stuff that you can't get anywhere else except from a former, you know, all pro, all
five-star
everything. Man. But, Chuck, now I'm going to take you to the best part of this Falcon cast, and that is Break with Bosek. My break man, Brian Bosek, full-time, by the way.
Yep.
Congratulations, buddy. You made
Thank
it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You made it. So what you got for us today, Brian?
All right. Like you said, five-star recruit right sitting right here in front of us, DJ.
Appreciate that, Brian.
Question for you, DJ.
Uh-oh.
How do you look at signing day? As a player going through the process, you've been through it, you've done it. Me, I'm just a spectator. They've just been spectators. I mean, Jay was in the media. He covered it. So I'd like to know Jay's thoughts on being in the media. DJ, you're being a player. And Matt, just as a fan.
He's a super fan. I only, you know me, I'm a Bulldog, so Chuck and I got that going for us. But I only look at, I swear, I'm not the guy who follows, you know, what stars this guy has. But I do like signing day.
Yeah.
And time. I like when I'm like, hey, this guy's going to pick, you know, either Georgia or, you know, Auburn at 3:30. I'll stick around and watch, but it's got to be. I mean, and Jay, I'd like to get your thoughts on covering it because that might be awful. And Shock, it's got to be. Talk about how it went for you on that.
As an athlete, it's probably your first real big decision as a man. I mean, you got to think about it. You're 18 years old. You're making a decision on where you're going to spend the next 4 years of your life. Where you're transforming into the man that you want to be. You're going to get an education. You're going to play some guys major college football or whatever it is. You're going to college. You're going to get education. You're going to play big time football bigger than where you come from. Mine, it was a little bit different. Coming out of high school, I was highly recruited by everybody in the country.
Number two quarterback in your class in the nation.
Pretty big coaches coming at you, calling you all the time. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was – Coach Rick was still at Florida State when I was coming out. He was at Florida State. I go down to their team gala. I'm sitting at the table next to Coach Rick. You're Coach Rick. I'm sitting mm-hmm. next to here. We're talking about – he's saying, oh, Florida State's going to be awesome. You need to come here. We're going to – you know, he's going to be a great – great fit for you. A week later, he takes the Georgia job. The day he takes the Georgia job, he's sitting in my living room, and he's saying, Shock, you know how good Georgia is. Now, Georgia's the best in the land. So I was like, Coach, you just talking about Florida State. So
it was
pretty funny. But at the end of the day, the university was, you know, it was secondary to me because I wanted to play for him. Mm-hmm. And for me, the relationship I made with him, as all these other student-athletes are doing – the relationship you have with that coach or that university or your comfort level with them, playing time, all that stuff goes into it and education. But for me, I looked at he had coached Chris Winkie, who won a Heisman. He coached Charlie Ward. I was like, those are two different type mm-hmm. of quarterbacks with two different sets of skills. And I said, he can teach both of those guys. I'm sure he can teach me. And he
was a good guy, too.
Absolutely.
You still talk to him.
Absolutely. I mean, I talked to him on a – on a weekly basis almost.
That's cool.
He calls me all the time, and we talk after games. I wish him luck, all that kind of stuff. So we still have a great relationship.
That's great.
To be the first ever recruit for Coach Rick at the University of Georgia is, you know, an honor. So I hold that to a high esteem. And it's awesome. I mean, it's a changing part for a lot of athletes. It's big. It's even bigger now because of social media. And, you know, these kids have these big old displays with animals and, you know, different hats.
Did
and
you do a
press
hat,
conference?
Did you do a hat put on yours?
What did I can't even remember what I did. I think I just said, "Hey, I'm going to Georgia, man," and it kind of just happened like that. It wasn't as big of a spectacle as it is now.
And then Jay, you going and covering those 10 hat ceremonies down in like Bainbridge, Georgia. I had to babes.
Well, you know, it's I covered high school football down in South Georgia. So, you know, that's a factory of some pretty spectacular football down there. And I got a chance to see a lot of guys play who are currently in the league. And you know, everybody talks about those guys on signing day. But from a reporter's standpoint, what you don't find out is like the other signings that happen on those days. And, you know, you first of all, understand as a reporter at the time, I was a bit of a night creature, meaning that, you know, you work in the afternoon and through the night and then you stay up until 4 or 5 in the morning and then you get up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and go back to work. So that's how it was. So when you know, Peach County High School decides that they would like to have their signing day at 8 a.m., it really throws a wrench into your day, right?
No sleep hours.
No. So, you know, it was a bit of an adjustment, and you'd have a list of all the, you know, all the different places you were going, and you put about 500 miles on your car that day because there was just a whole lot going on. But, you know, it is a really special day for the kids, and I understand that, and it's a lot of fun for them. You know, I think – you mentioned something interesting, just the social media aspect of it today is just, it's gotten so big, and I hate to see when, you know, this, you know, Joe football plays, or, you know, decides to go to one school over these two other ones and the fans from them, you know, they gotta jump on him and everything on Twitter. It's like, I hope that kind of stuff.
It's crazy.
Stops, but, you know, the other stuff is really special for these guys.
Jay, what's the craziest announcement you saw?
You know, I didn't really see any really crazy announcements. I wish I did. You know,
so you
I
never saw like the Isaiah Crowell pull out a bulldog?
No. So I saw
that was the best one.
I saw Justin Houston's from Statesboro High School. You know, back at Lee County High School and down near Albany, Devontre Richardson, who ended up playing quarterback at Florida State, he had already committed. So, you know, a lot of these guys that I covered kind of already knew where they were going. So I didn't really have anything like that. I wish I did, man. I wish I had a story like
crazy
that.
Crazy stuff, great. Man. I've seen some crazy.
Yeah. That's great. I still like the guy, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, that just faked his own thing and like was throwing hats, and he wasn't recruited by any of those.
Oh yeah, I remember that guy.
That
yeah,
is a great
bad.
One. All right, what do you got, Brian? We're gonna go quick. We're running late.
Yeah. Lastly, Super Bowl was this past Sunday. Dan Quinn came from there. And as a fan, you're not. We sadly weren't at the Super Bowl, so we watched on TV. We saw the commercial breaks, the infamous commercial breaks of the Super Bowl. So I was wondering
$4 million for 30 seconds, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I was wondering what your favorite commercial was from the Super Bowl.
I would tell you, but I died.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it
that was terrible.
You're going to think I'm going to say like one of the funny ones. It because Twitter was made for these moments, the nationwide ad where the kid dies.
It's crazy.
And everyone was like, what was that?
I was like, seriously, you can give us that?
That's what Twitter was made for, because I don't think I watched the next you know, 5 or 6 plays because I was just dying. You know, of laughter, looking on my dying, no pun intended, of laughter, yeah, right. Looking on my on the feed. That was great.
I'll tell you guys one I liked. You know, I'm not a really emotional guy. I'm not really sentimental, but I thought this was always a good commercial. It's the commercial with the little dog and the horses and the little boy and, you know, the
you
horses my, back him up with the wolf and everything. I mean,
and my mom love that.
I mean.
That was her favorite.
See, concert. I tried to set it up so I'm not emotional. So you still daggered me with it. It was cool. That's commercial,
good.
Man.
The Doritos one was good, too. I liked the one.
Yeah, they've always got some. Yeah, they've always got some good ones. There was one, and I can't remember what it was, but it was a screaming goat. at one point. Yeah, that was and good. It was absolutely hilarious. And I guess it really didn't do what it was supposed to do by making me remember what it was. But I was tweeting along, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's a screaming goat, and I was all in.
The punchlines always came really late, I thought. Yeah, yeah. A lot of the punchlines came, and you're like, what?
Yeah, this wasn't the best year, I don't think.
Do you guys see the one later? I think it was like a third quarter or fourth quarter commercial, the ones where the like really dorky people were dancing in the fanny packs. That one stuck with me, too.
Yeah, it was good.
Like the fanny pack? You got your fanny pack? You got one?
I kind of hope they come back, because there's so many things you can keep in a fanny
pack. We got to get Jay a fanny pack for OTAs and minicamp.
I'm hoping for Zubaz and fanny packs to come back into style.
We can get Jay a fanny pack for training camp.
That's funny.
Thank you, Brian. Good break. It was quick. We're going to end with, we asked for a question of the week. We found this from D. Oates. I like his handle. That's good. With Quinn, could we see an emergence of Goodman, Maponga, and Massacoy? And what will be Shimbo's role if Spoon returns? Hey, Oates, I have no idea, but Shockman and Jay may know something, so I'll throw it to them.
We'll start with Jay, man. What you got, Jay?
It's a good question. I mean, you've got a lot of guys on this team that need to be evaluated, and I think that's kind of first and foremost. And to speculate kind of what Dan Quinn might and might not do at this point, I think is maybe a little bit premature. But you know that you've got promise in Goodman. You know you've got promise in Maponga. And you know that Massaquoi's got some promise, too. So those are guys that have good foundations that I think you can build off of. As far as Shembo, you know, it's tough to say what his role would be, but certainly the front office loved his upside last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can only think that they're going to want to continue to try and build on that this year.
And one thing you do know is Dan Quinn is huge with the defensive line. Mm-hmm. So you know if anything that he is going to really critique or he's really going to talk about or look at the most is going to be that defensive line. So he's going to make sure he gets the most out of those guys. And I think, like you mentioned, they all have a huge upside. We saw a lot of these guys make some plays this year, and they can only get better with time.
Yeah.
As far as Shimbo goes, you always need great special teams players. Spoon comes back and healthy. It's good that he had some experience, so if you need him, he can come in and play some linebacker for you. But the fact that he's good on special teams and he's a big, athletic guy is always a plus in a defense that
cerebral
we
too.
Know. Absolutely.
He's got a good head on his shoulders, too. So there's a lot to like about those guys.
Good stuff. Very good stuff. Great Falcon caster. It was a pleasure having Shockley on. Whenever I get one of my DGDs on, baby, it's awesome. Jay, great stuff as you. Great coverage by everyone this week. We had a good time this week on AtlantaFalcons.com, bringing all Dan Quinn in. And as the paper toss goes, that means the Falcon Cast goes.
I'm going up top.
See you next week.
Man, nowhere near
see you next week on Falcon Cast. Thanks for watching.